Come up to the help of the Lord. June 14, 1898. On Monday afternoon, I met with those of our people who had gathered in the church and talked with them in regard to faith. And as I spoke, this subject was opened to me more fully. As I began to search the Word, the precious jewels of truth shone out with great clearness. I said, "Scripture is the key to unlock the Scriptures. We need, during this week of prayer, to come to God in confidence, in faith. We need to put away the darkness that would interpose between God and our souls. We need to cultivate perfect trust in God and make Him our counselor. The love of God must be cultivated in the heart, so that we shall love Him supremely and our neighbor as ourselves. Altogether, too little thanksgiving and praise are offered to God. The Lord requires our reasoning powers. He wants the whole mind. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord." Hebrews 12, verse 14. God's Word is full of assurances of what He will do for us if we will come to Him and ask in faith, believing. Faith is essential. It surrounds the soul with the atmosphere that pervades heaven. This is the rest that Christ has promised to all who come unto Him. All the heavenly universe is waiting for channels through whom they can communicate the rich treasures of God's grace. How long will the church remain in a state of indifference and carelessness? We urge all who have had the light of truth brought home to their souls to walk in the light as Christ is in the light, and show that the work of daily sanctification through the truth is going on in mind and heart. We ask our brethren to render to God the thanksgiving offering for all His blessings, not only the fruit of the lips, but the entire being, for this is the Lord's purchased possession. They are to understand that the garden of the heart is to be cultivated, the weeds diligently uprooted. As they cultivate the soil, the students are to learn spiritual lessons. The plow must break up the fallow ground. It must lie under the rays of the sun and the purifying air. Then the seed, to all appearance dead, is to be dropped into the prepared soil. Trees are to be planted, seeds for vegetables sown. And after man has acted his part, God's miracle-working power gives life and vitality to the things placed in the soil. In this agricultural process, there are lessons to be learned. Man is not to do slothful work. He is to act the part appointed him by God. His industry is essential if he would have a harvest. And just such a work is to be done in the human mind and heart. The sower of the seed is the Son of Man. The seed is the Word. Christ is the author of all truth. He is the science of all education. He came down from heaven to give to the world the bread of life. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John 1, verse 14. To Nicodemus he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." John 3, verse 11 to 13. This lesson was scarcely comprehended by Nicodemus at the time, but as events transpired, the mystery became plain. And must the veil remain upon our eyes in regard to the relation existing between heavenly and earthly things? In this probationary time, man may comprehend the truths of God's Word. They are revealed to us and to our children. A treasure house of precious jewels is opened before the minds of all who will search the Word of God. The Lord would have us become diligent learners and understand that as we receive the Word, a responsibility is left upon us to go to work, to communicate to others that which we have received, to scatter the good seed and prepare others for the operation of the Spirit of God upon their minds and characters. Man must use the talents God has given him. In presenting the precious truth to others, he will sow the good seed in other minds. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1, verse 12. To all who receive Christ by faith, these words are applicable. And all who receive the gospel message in the heart will long to proclaim it to others. The heaven-born love of Christ will find expression. Those who have put on Christ will relate their experiences, tracing step by step the leadings of the Holy Spirit. Their hungering and thirsting for the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ whom he has sent. The result of their search of the Scriptures, their prayers, their soul agony, and the words of Christ to them, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Matthew 9, verse 2. It is unnatural for any to keep these things secret, and those who are filled with the love of Christ will not do so. In proportion as the Lord has made them the repositories of sacred truth, will be their desire that others may receive the same blessings. And as they make known to others the rich treasure of God's grace, more and still more of the grace of Christ will be imparted to them. They will become more and more settled and rooted and grounded in the truth. They will have the heart of a little child in its simplicity and unreserved obedience. Their souls will pant after holiness, and as they search the Scriptures, more and more of the gems of truth will be revealed to them. As those who have had great light and have united themselves in church capacity to do service for God, we must present the truth as it is in Jesus. Why do those who know the truth remain in a state of indifference to the wants of others? They bring no sheaves to the Master. They look to others to do the work that God has given them to do. I wish that every soul could have the experience that I had last night, as words were falling from the lips of the divine teacher, words that burned into the very soul of the hearer. The promises were repeated, and I opened my Bible, for the words were, "It is written." I had been praying for the refreshing streams of the water of life, that I might eat of the precious word, and be encouraged and refreshed, and all light in the Lord. And precious promises were repeated, the words shining upon the pages of the Bible as if written in gold. The words were spoken, "The leaves of the tree of life are proffered you. They are sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Take them, eat them, digest them, and your faint-heartedness will pass away. Are you thirsty? Come. Whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life." John 4, verse 14. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. John 6, verse 35. And in that day thou shalt say, "O Lord, I will praise thee. Thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust thee and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Isaiah 12, verse 1-6. I saw these promises blooming all over the garden of God's Word. We need to look at them, linger over them, and gather the precious fragrance to our souls. But I shall take up these precious things in another place, and not enlarge upon them here. Why do we not, as a people, become enthused with the Spirit of Christ? Why are we so little moved? We need the grace of Christ in large measure. There is a world perishing in sin. Do we consider our exalted privilege of adding a star to Christ's crown? A soul saved. A soul cut loose from the chains with which Satan has bound him. We must realize our obligation to go without the churches, to the world, and preach the gospel. To whom? Listen to the words of our Redeemer just before he ascended to the Father. Preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verse 15. The work now being done in medical missionary lines is responding to this appointment, and through it the quickening, sanctifying influence of the Spirit of God will be given to the church. Brethren, let us look our duties and responsibilities fairly in the face. We must come up to the help of the Lord against the mighty. We must preserve unity and love one for another if we would bear the divine credentials to the world that God has sent his Son to save all who will look unto him, who will receive him and believe in him as their personal Savior. If we are Christians, we shall be as faithful soldiers of Christ. We are pledged to stand under his banner to do faithful service. The message of truth is not for us alone. Our light is not to be hid under a bushel or under a bed. The light given us of heaven is to shine in clear, undimmed brightness to those who are in darkness. We are to proclaim the glad tidings that are for all people. Luke 2, verse 10.